Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of Super Seasons. This week we're taking you back to the mid-90s, to the 1993-94 season as Barcelona won their 14th league title in the most dramatic of fashions. This episode was originally recorded in July 2019. The full archive is available exclusively for patrons at patreon.com/TSFP. Hello patrons, welcome to another edition of TSFP Presents Super Seasons. We are in the
studio.
We're in the Podmobile. We're in a shaded car park. Last week we were recording inside a shopping centre, which was a little bit noisy, so we thought, right, okay, we'll go back into the Podmobile. It is unbelievably hot still in Madrid, but Nevertheless, we are going to brave the Podmobile and make it a bit steamy. Perhaps. It's going to be a bit like a sauna.
Was this a steamy season, do you think?
This was quite a steamy season.
We could have called it steamy seasons, couldn't we?
Anyway, 1993-94 was pretty steamy, feisty, saucy, whatever you want to call it.
I know that every single episode we say this was the most dramatic finale ever, but I feel like in terms of being distilled into one moment, this is maybe the best finale ever.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves too much because we will, develop the story and come on to this.
Sure.
But this may be the single most significant kick in the history of Spanish club
football. I like that, Sid.
Wow, okay. Well, it was Barcelona who ended up winning the title. How? We'll see in just a moment. It was their fourth consecutive title in Johan Cruyff's sixth season in charge. Their squad, it was quite a squad when you look down at the players involved, all the way from the back. You had Miguel Ángel Nadal, Xavi Ferrer, Koeman, Guardiola, Laudrup, Romario and Stoichkov amongst their team.
And funny enough, one or two players who were also around it for our previous super seasons 10 years earlier, but not at Barca. So you had people like Zubizarreta in goal who was involved. Then you had Baquero who was also involved back in 82-83 as well, but at other clubs.
And, that is the season of, you've mentioned there, Romario and Stoichkov. Yes. That is, Romario has an incredibly significant place in Barcelona's history, despite the fact that he was actually only there for 18 months. And this is his one big season with his great mate Stoichkov, which of course ends with them being the top two scorers at the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Romario this season, 30 goals from 33 appearances.
Mm. And at a time when people didn't score that many.
And that's not taking penalties.
Mm. Yeah.
No penalties there.
Mm. Yeah.
No, incredible. And we'll talk about him in just a moment because he had some definitely eye-catching appearances. Real Madrid were coached at the start of the season by Benito Floro.
He's one of those sort of...
I had to look him up.
I was going to say, occasionally, when you look through the lists of Barca and Madrid coaches over the years, you realise, I don't know anything about this man.
Yes.
He was reckoned to be... There's this line that is often used to attack him as a kind of, a symbol of the kind of things he was interested in. He was one of these guys who used to talk about the importance of throw-ins. And so people always had him down as this kind of meticulous, if a little bit Rafa Benitez-esque.
The importance of throw-ins, how?
You could score goals from throw-ins if you get it right.
And so a Rory De Lapp-esque.
No, it's more about the way you take it and how swiftly you move it. But it was just the fact that he would expressed this openly, and people thought he was a little bit odd.
Obviously, Real Madrid had won the Copa del Rey the previous season with him in charge, and indeed, they could really, probably should have won the league the season before as well. They lost it on the final day of the season. They were leading going into the final day of the season, but they threw it away.
The second of the two Tenerife
endings, yeah. Indeed. The Real Madrid squad had such players in it, big names like Fernando Hierro, Luis Enrique, Ivan Zamorano, and Emilio Butragueño. Zamorano ended the season as Real Madrid's top goalscorer with 11 goals. Hierro, just behind him, with 10
You had Alfonso Perez there as well, of course, yes. Of the Colosseum fame.
Yes.
Although he never played for Getafe, notably.
No, but he is from Getafe. He still turns out for the Real Madrid legends as well. He was a good player.
To be fair, he is a legend. Some people who turn up for the legends aren't.
No, absolutely. Other contenders for this title, Deportivo La Coruña, of course, this wonderful Super Depor side that we've spoken about previously here on patreon.com/TSFP. Coached by the legendary Arsenio Iglesias.
A man with one of the best nicknames. A lot of coaches have got good nicknames, but when you're known as the Wizard...
Yeah, Brucio.
I mean, that's decent.
Yeah, the squad had some names that have gone down in La Liga history now, obviously. Miroslav Dukic, who's famous... Very famous, and we'll see why a little bit later on. The goalkeeper, by the way, Liano, who kept 25 clean sheets this season. They only conceded 18 goals, therefore, throughout the season. Quite extraordinary. But amongst the squad, the likes of Fran, Donato, Mauro Silva, Bebeto playing his second season after finishing. Pichichi with 29 goals the previous season.
And those three Brazilians in particular were fundamental.
They were just mega woof.
There's a great story about them trying... mega woof. Woof woof. There's a great story about them trying to persuade Bebeto to go to La Coruña. And Lendoiro, who of course is the Deportivo president, who'd made a success, made the local roller hockey team European champions, which is how he ends up being involved in Deportivo. And Bebeto has a deal to go to Dortmund. He also has an offer to go to Deportivo La Coruña. And this is a very clear thing. Well, you know, come on, Dortmund's much bigger. Lendoiro goes to see Bebeto and Bebeto's wife, who's the key to this, and says, no, look, Spain's much nicer, it's cold, it's wet in Dortmund. He takes them to La Coruña, shows them the beach. He's lucky, because that's basically the only day of the year in which it doesn't rain.
Yes, and as soon as he's taking off, the rain clouds come down. I feel like you've told that story before.
I think it's worth telling more than once.
It's worth telling.
Fortunately, because you have.
Yeah. 20 teams then in La Liga for this season, and those 20 teams were Albacete, Atletico, Barca, Celta, Depor, Lleida.
So they'd been promoted the previous season, and that was 53 years after their only previous top flight appearance. Wow.
Logroñés as well, Osasuna, Racing. Racing are basically in every season that we've done.
It seems like every time they're either getting relegated or getting promoted or something.
Rayo, Real Madrid, Real Sociedad, Sevilla, Sporting, Tenerife, Valencia, Valladolid, and Zaragoza.
In terms of the format, it's worth mentioning as well, relegation was a bit different in those days. So that the bottom two teams went down automatically, and then the 17th and 18th place finishers played off against the third and fourth place finishers from the Segunda to decide if they went up or went down.
Is that maybe a better way of doing it?
I don't know, it's a bit messy though, isn't it?
But has that ever stopped?
It's quite good in a way, yeah. It's first division against second division. You sort of get a sense of if they're
I guess potentially it means, you know, fewer teams getting promoted and relegated, which I quite like the fact you have more turnover, you have more different teams every year. It keeps things fresh.
It certainly does. I mean,
certainly fresher than this Popmobile. Right now.
Quite a lot fresh.
It's getting quite steamy. This season is more or less all about the final day. But
we could almost fast forward, couldn't we?
We could almost. But, you know, instead of that, we can talk about certain things like the Clásicos, both Clásicos which Barcelona won in an incredible performance at the Camp Nou, beating Real Madrid 5-0 in the first Clásico of the season, which was, to coin the Spanish phrase, an exhibition from Romario, who scored a hat-trick and two assists.
Including the famous Colo de Vaca, where he turns Alcorta and basically snaps Alcorta in two.
He does a terrible thing to Alcorta, really. I mean, I bet it makes it look so easy. Anyway, go and find the goal if you haven't seen it. It's the first of his hat-trick in this extraordinary performance. Had there been, I mean, a sort of manita like this before? I don't know. Obviously,
well, the previous really famous one was 74, was the Cruyff-driven one at the Bernabeu.
Yes. Okay.
So
yes.
It's, what are we, 20 years.
Yeah. Yes, no, 20 years on.
Oh, sorry, this is 94, isn't it? 94, yes.
Yes.
I'm mixing my
decades. Time-travelling,
yeah,
Sid.
Yeah, we're time-travelling. It's struggling. It's making me struggle.
But, I mean, you mentioned Romario this season. Like, this was his season and how important he was to Barcelona.
I mean, it's just extraordinary, the touch in tight spaces, the big bum, the
Sid's
the,
always been a fan you've got a type, haven't you?
Sid has
definitely got a type.
It's true. I hadn't actually noticed. But he does have.
Yeah. Anyway, but he was just extraordinary, and it worked really well. Him and Stoichkov, who in theory shouldn't have been great friends, because they were very different in terms of personalities, and it was just brilliant. You've got this incredibly talented technical player in the area like Romario, who didn't like to train very much but was brilliant in games, and then you've got Stoichkov, who's kind of a bit nuts and a bit wild and aggressive, and they're just a really brilliant partnership with a lot of other great players, and they're obviously loud up in the team as well for the kind of the creativity.
It does feel like as well this was a season with so much striking talent, even some teams that we haven't mentioned. So at Sevilla you had Davor Šuker, who went on to score 24 league goals. At Valencia you had Mijatovic, who went on to score 16 goals.
Well, I mean, you can go through the team, and actually, I mean, just go through the list of Pichichis. Listen to these names. So you've got Romario on 30, Šuker on 23, Codro on 23, whose son, Real Sociedad, whose son's just gone to Athletic Bilbao, by the way. You've got Julen Guerrero and Cuco Ziganda.
I feel like Julen Guerrero is a player who we've probably never really talked about on any pod, but I mean, he was a very significant player in Spanish football for a long time.
Absolute superstar that then disappeared a little bit, but for 3 or 4 years, he was the Spanish golden boy.
He was quite handsome.
Very handsome. Everybody loved him. Boy next door. Extraordinarily talented. And as you say, you've got Selenko, who of course went and scored, I think, 6 times at the World Cup.
He was scoring 5 famously in one game.
Stoichkov, Mijatovic, Bebeto, Hugo Sanchez, and scoring 20 goals for Real Oviedo, Carlos.
Was he good?
What a striker.
Yeah?
Yeah. Tough, aggressive, goal scorer, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
We hadn't mentioned Real Zaragoza, by the way, and this was the sort of the start of their, I was going to say golden period. It didn't last particularly long, but obviously this was a very good season for them as they won the Copa del Rey.
And they finished third in the league. And their best finish, I think, for 20 years.
Which, of course, is then what leads them to Nine from the halfway line.
Let's not go into that season.
No, I think we should. I think we should go into it in very great detail.
That was another
detail.
Season. It doesn't come into this season.
But it started. It was born.
It starts here, Al. We're dealing with it.
Obviously, it was Vicente Fernandez who was in charge of them. Victor Fernandez was in charge of them.
We talked about
he's still the manager now. Yeah.
I mean,
he hasn't been there all that time. We should probably
in our last episode, we mentioned young Javier Clemente in charge of Athletic at the age of 32. I mean, Victor Fernandez was 33, was the youngest coach in the league, and sort of took the league by storm. Everyone sort of fell in love with him and his team.
Absolutely.
Yes, as we said, they went on to finish third. They won the Copa del Rey, and then the year afterwards, they won the Cup Winners' Cup against Arsenal in the final. The goal scored by Naim, not quite from the halfway line. Also, Gustavo Poyet was in this Real Zaragoza side, and he was quite a player as well. And also being a Spurs legend.
It's a good moment for Spurs, isn't it?
Be aware that I can cut any of this out. just bear that in mind. You might just be wasting your breath. Should we get back to the title race?
No!
Yes. I mean, a title race in which Real Madrid weren't really in it. It was Deportivo.
I mean, I think they went top out on their own from match day 14. And for basically the rest of the season, they were sort of 2 or 3 points in front pretty much. Midway through the season, I think they were top 3 points ahead of Barca, and then it was Sporting and Madrid after that. But things really get interesting in the run-in, really, from around about match day 34 onwards. That's when things start to get really, really exciting, because that's when Deportivo start to wobble.
Yeah, and Barcelona are really picking up momentum. So Barcelona go into the final game of the week, final game of the season, having won 11 of the previous 13 and drawn the other two, unbeaten in those 13
games. To give you
games.
Some examples, with 34 games played, Depor were 3 points clear at the top. Then, match day 35, they drew 0-0. Match day 36, they drew 0-0. And both of those weekends, Barca won their games 4-0. So yeah, Barca were flying while Depor was starting to win.
And of course, Johan Cruyff was starting to crank up the pressure at this point as well. So Johan Cruyff is coming out publicly and saying, look, we're not playing very well, but we're winning, and we're winning quite well. They are playing the best they possibly can, and they're just about getting by. At some point, this will desert them. He was really playing the mind games. The great thing is that Arsenio was very good at this kind of very Galician, very Galician. And listen to him, he's got a very strong Galician accent, and very Galician in the terms of that kind of talk of sort of mysticism and not really giving straight answers. He was very good at dismissing the bullshit.
I mean, when you're a wizard, you know, you're into mysticism,
yeah,
aren't you?
Absolutely.
But yeah, those points dropped meant that when we came to the last day of the season, that 2 or 3 point lead had been eroded, and it was only a 1 point lead.
So it is Barcelona against Deportivo going into the final day of the season. Before we talk about that final day, can I just mention how poor Real Madrid were in this season?
Yes.
They lost 12 matches, which is more than Depor and Barcelona combined. Huh. They conceded 50 goals, which is more than Lleida, who went down.
Wow. This sounds like Real Madrid the season that's just finished.
Even Oviedo won at the Bernabéu.
I mean, that was surely the final nail in the coffin for Benito Floro.
They won 1-0, one of four teams to win at the Bernabéu that season.
But the best of them, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. And, of course, I mentioned old Benito. He was sacked in March. A certain Vicente del Bosque came in briefly to take a caretaker charge until the end of the season, and then it was Jorge Valdano who took over for the next
And then,
year.
Of course, Del Bosque would take over again and eventually win the European Cup. But when Del Bosque did eventually take over and win the European Cup, Real Madrid, it was his third spell as caretaker, and it was the first time he publicly said, I don't want to be caretaker, I want this to be done properly.
To the final day, then. Right. This incredibly dramatic setup.
Saturday the 14th of May, 1994.
A day that Deportivo fans will never forget.
That was quite good.
They were wearing, I mean, I was looking back at images, and they were wearing that shirt that you love. It's that kit, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got this kit, Deportivo kit.
It's gorgeous.
Okay, so set it up.
Okay, so Saturday 14th of May, the two games that we are interested in are Depor against Valencia at Riazor and Barca against Sevilla at Camp Nou. Now, that game actually wasn't without incident because Sevilla led twice in that game. Simeone and Suke put them in front, but Barca ended up coming back to win 5-2. So that was that game. Meanwhile, at Riazor, it was nervy. It was very, very nervy right the way through, Sid, to the last few minutes of the game.
Well, the last minute.
Yeah.
The last minute. Imagine this. You're a club that has done something extraordinary, that all the way through the season, people are thinking, this can't last. That with 5 or 6 weeks to go, despite the wobble, people are thinking, wow, Depor really could win the league. This could actually happen.
Was it a bit like Leicester?
I suppose so.
Yeah,
I suppose that's probably quite a good way of framing it. With, I suppose, a slight difference. I mean, probably everyone in England did want Leicester to win the league. Yeah. But Depor were even more popular. Not just because they're not Madrid or Barcelona, but because everyone liked the way they played. They were defensively very, very strong, it's true, but they had that little flow of creativity up front. Because you've got people like Fran, who's local, who's been through the club at a lower level, who's kind of, if you ever listen to him talk, he sounds like he's got a constant cold and he seems very kind of downplayed. You've got people like Donata, who there's a sense that, well, you know, is he really that good? He comes in to be a centre-back, plays in the middle of midfield. You've got Mauro Silva, who's been absolutely extraordinary. Bebeto, you know, you've got this team that everybody really, really likes. And then suddenly, wow, they're going to win the league. So they go into this final day, and it's the last minute. They've been struggling to find a way through. They haven't been able to really break Valencia down, and then they get a penalty.
It's 0-0.
It's 0-0. They get a penalty in the 89th minute.
And the awarding of the penalty, when you watch the footage on TV,
just
the awarding of the penalty is celebrated almost like a goal. Like people are off the bench, they're running onto the pitch.
Nando runs into the penalty area, gets tripped over, and everyone comes off the bench, and you're right, runs onto the pitch. One person. Arsenio is the one going, calm down, we haven't scored this yet. And there's a good reason to think we might not score this. One of them is that Bebeto has already asked 3 weeks earlier to not take penalties anymore because he's missed a couple.
He had missed two, again, one against Oviedo and one against Villa, I think. And he hadn't scored a single penalty all season.
And so Arsenio is saying to him, look, it doesn't matter, just take them. It doesn't matter if you miss, but he doesn't want to. So he's no longer the penalty taker. The penalty taker, in theory, is Donato. Donato is not on the pitch. The man who is on the pitch, who gets to take it, is Jukic. Who, when he leaves home in the morning, his wife says to him one thing. Well, I imagine she said more than one thing. But the last thing she says to him is, if there's a penalty, don't take it.
What? Yep. Seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, and when you see him stepping up to take the penalty, you can see that in his head.
Oh,
like,
my
he
God.
Looks like the world's least confident man.
And Donato admits that he's been taken off, that he's on the touchline, and he says, I start having a conversation with God. So what is going on here? What is happening? How is this happening? Please let us get through. And he steps up, and as you say, he looks, Djukic looks like a man who knows
who's not going to score this penalty.
From the run-up, you can tell sometimes, can't you? And this is definitely one of those.
And he said, he does admit that, you know, he's running up thinking, do I just whack this? Do I place this? And of course, in the end, what happens is he kind of gets caught between two, maybe three, maybe 15 ideas, and it's an awful penalty.
It's a really bad penalty. He hits it low. It's not right in the corner. It's too close to the goalkeeper. It's not hard enough. The keeper goes the right way,
he gets down. He just gathers it.
That's the thing.
He doesn't even have to dive very far.
He doesn't have to palm it away. He hangs onto it. That tells you how soft it was.
And it's José Luis González Vázquez, by the way, who only ever played 12 times for Valencia.
Yeah, he wasn't the first-choice keeper,
was he? Not the first-choice keeper. He is playing this game because the first-choice keeper has been suspended for a red card, I think, either the week before or 2 weeks before. So you've got this scenario where it's not the right goalie, it's not the right penalty taker, and it's
for the league title.
For the first ever league title for a team that everyone in Spain, apart from Barca fans, is absolutely desperate to score.
What's amazing as well, watching the footage, is that when the penalty is saved, there's almost no time at that point to react, because González takes a quick throw and throws it out, and play continues. And it's almost like there's then sort of the delayed reaction comes when the final whistle goes, which isn't very long afterwards, as you say.
But before he throws the ball out, he celebrates.
Yeah, he clenches his fist, doesn't he? Does a kind of a finch clench.
Punches in the air like an uppercut.
There's a nice interview with him where he says, the only thing I regret, obviously I don't regret saving it, that was my job. So the one thing I do regret is the celebration. He said, but you know, I wasn't playing very much, and that was the kind of competitive spirit in me, not the desire to screw up their league title. Because Valencia had nothing to play for, by the way. This isn't like Valencia denying Real Madrid the league in 82-83. It's very, very different.
Well, it turns out they did have something to play
for. Well, this is exactly, and it then gets revealed that they get a 50 million peseta bonus from Barcelona for not losing to Depor. Barcelona had offered them the win. In fairness, it is a win bonus or a get a good result bonus. They've not been bought off in that sense. It's the old Malatín thing. The whole argument in Spain was, which is always, well, if you're not being paid to lose, it's okay. I'm not sure if it is okay, but the money was supplied at a service station, I think the following week, and that was admitted a few years later, which is one of the reasons why you get the development of what we've talked about before, this slightly strange rivalry between Depor and Valencia, because Depor always hated Valencia for this. And the following season, Depor win the Copa del Rey final against Valencia, which is the hailed off final, where the hails come down, they stop, they come back the next day to play 10 minutes, Depor go for Valencia and beat them, and they were rescued by the hail. They really were, because they were under pressure from Valencia. They were going to lose that final, and they won it. Should we take this moment back to the Camp Nou?
Yes. What was going on there?
So, exactly. Well, this is the thing. This is obviously a two-stage play, if you like. And so you've got Deportivo winning it. Not winning it in A Coruña. You've got Barcelona, who are winning 5-2 against Sevilla. They're playing out the final minutes. And the way their players tell the story, it goes silent at the Camp Nou. And there's this moment, Michael Laudrup says that even some of the Sevilla players stopped. They had the ball, literally stopped. What's happened? And this is kind of, something's going on. There's a penalty in the last minute in the other game. I can't believe it. At this stage, there is virtually no one on the Barcelona bench. All of the subs have gone down to the dressing room before it's a Depor game. They are not out on the pitch. And everyone goes silent and they wait. And they kind of play on, but while they wait. And then there's this huge roar and the Camp Nou goes up. And they know the penalty's been missed. And the subs come running up the tunnel and out onto the side of the pitch. And everyone's celebrating, going wild. And thinking, I don't believe it. We've got away with it again.
Wow. What a way to win a league title.
It's extraordinary. The footage. You should have a look at the footage. It's really quite something.
That is... That is the most dramatic final day, isn't it? I mean, we've said this about...
Well, as I say, for a single kick, Jesus. You know, the whole thing resides, you know, rests on that single kick of Djukic, and Djukic misses. And, you know, obviously what that has recriminations for Donato, who was off the pitch, recriminations for Bebeto, who says, you know, I might have missed too if I'd taken
it's
it.
It's quite hard to watch, even when you see, after the final whistle at Riazor, the players are trying to get off the pitch. Some fans have sort of run onto the pitch, and you can't tell if, are they going to console the players? Are they going to, like, punch them? Like, it's not entirely
well, in the end, they do the celebration. So Deportivo celebrate at the Fountain of Cuatro Caminos. The fans, after this kind of a momentary, as you say, a momentary what-do-we-do, And the fans decide, you know what, we're going to celebrate this anyway. So they spend all night at Cuatro Caminos celebrating. And there's a moment where I think it's Donato and Mauro Silva in a car together. They drive past and what on earth's going on here? So they stop, obviously, from in the car to watch this happening. Depor's players have got this celebratory meal booked, which is obviously natural. And they go and have it anyway. Mm. And no one really knows whether to celebrate or not. But some of the footage of it, there is some singing and there is some cheering. And of course, there's a big attempt to kind of... back Djukic, to cheer up Djukic. And Djukic talks about this as being, in a way, the moment that reaffirmed his love for Depor, not the other way around, because there's this phrase that gets used, which is Djukic, te quiero igual. You know, I love you just the same as I always did.
You know? I love you anyway.
Yeah, I love you anyway. That's a better translation. Yeah, I love you anyway.
It ended then with Barcelona and Depor level on points at the top of the table. That's how close it was.
It really was, that one kick.
Yes, but Barca with a better goal difference. Or is it head-to-head?
I think it's overall goal difference, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, I think it was goal difference. Zaragoza finished third, as we mentioned. Their excellent season for them on 46, Real Madrid on 45, and Athletic Club on 43. Bottom, Rayo went down after a three-game playoff.
So talking about these playoffs, it was Rayo against Compostela. They were level after having played home and away because there were no away goals. They had to play a third game, which I think was in Oviedo.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think it was, and Rayo went down.
Valladolid stayed up after beating Toledo in a playoff. Imagine if Toledo had come up. Lleida and Osasuna were the bottom two. They went down, and we had Espanyol, Betis, and Compostela promoted to the Primera División. So there we go. Obviously, focusing mainly on that final day and that final drama,
final kick,
super kicks. Just
can you
one
kick,
kick
it? No, he can't.
No, he couldn't. Aww. And his wife knew it.
That's amazing.
She knew
it?
That is incredible. Anyway, thank you for listening. I got a little bit carried away there, but anyway, thank you for listening. We'll be back with the final episode of Super Seasons in a couple of weeks' time. So make sure you join us for that one. Adios.
Cheerio.
Bye.